From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. When a wildfire rages through a forest, what happens to the trees that live there? The conventional wisdom is they all burn up, along with the rest of the forest. However, it turns out that trees, just like people, react differently to wildfires, and they can suffer the equivalent of first, second, or even third degree burns. And the trees that suffer the least can often recover over time. That's just some of what Alistair Smith has found in his 20 years of researching fires. He's the professor and chair of the Department of Earth and Spatial Sciences at the University of Idaho, and he was recently recognized for his work, and he's joining us now live. Alistair, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show today, Gemma.
So how long have you been researching wildfires?
For over 20 years now. Started with my master's and doctorate, and now ever since I've been here in Idaho for the last 20 years, I've been researching them.
So talk to us about your research into trees as well as fire, and then how, as I mentioned, some trees can be burned more than others.
Sure. So what we do in my research at the lab is we actually focus on young trees, so saplings that are around 3 to 5 feet tall. And that's because if they survive, the bigger trees are going to survive. And so what we do is we grow them in a nursery, and then we set fires to them at known levels of fire intensity, and we see what happens. We see what levels of fire intensity they die at. We then look at why they died. And then for the ones that survive, we track them and see how they grow. And we've learned that they grow differently over time. In some cases, over like 10 years, they grow differently.
And as I mentioned, is it true then that some trees can actually survive a fire and even recover? And in particular, I mean, I'm thinking about one tree that I think made national and international headlines back in August, and this is the banyan tree after the wildfire in Lahaina, Maui. You know, we're starting to see, like, you know, green leaves back on this tree.
So yes, it's really interesting. Trees have evolved very differently to fires. Some trees can survive fires multiple times. And we see this when people core into them and look at the tree rings and the scars over time. There are some trees that were 400, 500, 600 years old that have survived 10 to 15 different fires. But then you have other trees that if a fire comes along, it's like they immediately die and fall over. But what we're seeing there is that trees have just evolved differently. If trees have evolved around fire over the generations, they develop protections that can be thick bark, that can be that they store sugars and starches, food essentially, under the ground in their roots. So when the fire comes along, it just kills the top, and then they just regrow and resprout later. And that's kind of what you're seeing with that tree is an example of resprouting, where the top may have burned out, but there's enough reserves of sugar and energy and nutrients in the ground that the tree is actually still alive.
So can you tell through your research which tree might survive some type of devastating fire and what kind of tree may not?
So myself and also working with many others, we can see that species, so for example, conifers, which include pine trees, they're very resistant to fires. You can have low intensity fires run through a pine tree, pretty much any species of pine, and it's probably going to survive. But if you pick species that have thin bark, like beech, it's not going to do so well. And so if you're interested in like planting trees in your garden or in your on your landscapes, you can make smart decisions on which trees are going to do better when we face more fires.
So do trees also, when we come to certain types of fires or certain levels of fires, I guess, right? How does that impact trees in the sense of like, could a tree, like you said, the beech tree, could it maybe survive I don't want to call it a mild fire, but you know, it wouldn't survive like a raging wildfire. So are there, how do trees react to, I guess, different levels of fire?
It's a great question. What I will say is if you've got a crown fire, high intensity raging fire, Or like when you see the fires caused by lava, the trees are going to die. It doesn't matter how well protected they are. Most trees will die under these super high intensity fires. What's more interesting to a lot of us is how do trees, different trees, survive the planned fires, the fires we deliberately set, or when fires are less intense. There's a lot more choices. But if you have, just like as you said at the beginning of the segment, if we have a third degree burn, it doesn't usually end well for us. And it's the same with trees. If they are in those high intensity fires, it's unlikely they will survive. That doesn't mean they won't, but it's unlikely.
Mm-hmm. And even if they survive a fire like that, what about the idea of them still being able to get nutrients? Because I'm thinking of just devastated landscape, right? After a fire, even if a tree survives.
Yeah, never a great question. So a lot of conifers, again, pines, spruce firs, they have deep roots. And so when a fire, even a high intensity fire goes through, the heat from the fire doesn't get too far into the soil. And that's because soil is a fantastic insulator. So you can be half a meter, couple of feet under the soil, and you're not really going to feel the effects of the fire. And so if the roots are that deep, then the trees will probably survive. But if you've got a species that has really shallow roots, then you're not going to be so lucky.
So talk to us about your team and why exactly you focus so much on the researching of the plants and trees. Because you're part of an international network of researchers where this is what you focus on. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We work with people in Britain and people at the University of Tasmania in Australia. And they're all interested in this question because fire is global. And we're seeing more and more fires occur globally. And why this is of use to people in these different countries is that land managers, when they're dealing with plantations or natural forests, they plant young trees. And what happens if a fire runs through those young trees 5 years after planting? They've got a choice to make. Should they replant them all, cut their losses and replant them, or should they let them grow? But if they let them grow, are they going to grow differently? So this research, not just here in the United States, but in Australia and in Europe, really helps get, real information to land managers that they can use.
What about impacting the way we fight wildfires then? Does your research play into that?
Less so, but we can help land managers and others and firefighters know how the fire behavior is going to be slightly different, if that makes sense. Mainly because as previous fires come in and how they then burn the trees will impact how many of those trees die and then how many of those trees become the fuel for the next fires.
So I want to go back to something you said a little bit earlier in our conversation, and this is about, the types of trees, right? And how they can withstand fire and then kind of informing maybe how you plant trees, outside on your own property. Here we live in an urban landscape, but however, we have wildfires all around us and they've come into the city of Boise before. So what is best advice then from the research that you have on maybe if people are trying to make better choices so that, they can protect their home more, but you still want, vegetation around your property?
So the most important thing here is like the trees themselves are not going to be what causes risk to your property. It's it's what's on the ground, the fuel on the ground. And so if you've got pine trees, they're going to be shedding lots of pine needles. The pine needles are what you have to worry about because they can accumulate in areas. And if you get a few sparks landing on those accumulated pine needles, they can be a lot of risk to your homes. So for example, if you got them around on your decks or in between fences or sitting near your windows or in your eaves, in the gutters, if pine needles are collecting there, that is a significant risk to your home. And so if you're going to plant pine trees, sure, they're probably going to survive, but worry about their pine needles. The other thing you need to consider about is some of the shrubs that you pick for your yardscaping. If those shrubs have lots of oils, and so they smell nice, they're very aromatic, they're likely to create lots of sparks and embers, which will then travel to your home. So those are some of the smart choices you can make in deciding what you're going to plant near your property. You know, cut down on ones that produce lots of litter and pine needles, and cut down on things that are very aromatic. They may smell nice, but that might not be good for you if a fire comes through.
So before I let you go, talk to us about the research award that you recently picked up. What is it exactly?
Okay, so it's called the Janine Shreef National Science Foundation EPSCoR Research Excellence Award. And it's the program it's related to is it's called the Established Program to Stimulate Competitive Research. It's a national program, and several states here, United States, compete for money on that award. But the reason they gave me the award is that back when I first joined the University of Idaho as a faculty member in 2007, this program helped me out. They gave me essentially all the money for the equipment in my fire combustion lab. They helped me have students, and they really helped me succeed and be where I am today. And since then, I've been continuing to try to pay it forward to help others also succeed. Including helping them get two large awards this year into the state. We brought in a grant that's worth $24 million into the state of Idaho. And so in recognition of me paying all that back and forward to help others, they gave me this award.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. Really interesting conversation, and I so appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.